Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. This week has seen a number of developments in Greece, from news related to the pandemic, to tourism, to protests over a labor reform, to tennis stars Maria Sakkari and Stefanos Tsitsipas having historic runs in the French Open. Nikos Evstathiou, a journalist with Kathimerini, joins The Greek Current to discuss these news items. We look at the status of the country's vaccination campaign, the gradual easing of travel restrictions to Greece from the United States and other countries, and what it means for tourism this summer, Greece's decision to donate vaccines to neighboring countries, and why a proposed labor law has become a central topic of debate. Nikos, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Thank you so much, Thanos. It's great to be back.
Nikos, since Greece reopened to tourists in mid-May, it has gradually lifted lockdown restrictions throughout the country. This week, Greece pushed back its nationwide curfew and further lifted restrictions on gatherings. Give us a sense of what's going on in Greece.
So, Thanos, you're right to point out it's now been a month since Greece opened its borders to tourism and lifted its lockdown and regional internal travel restrictions. And just recently, to push back the national curfew to 1:30 a.m., and music was allowed to be played in bars and restaurants, which was a measure that was quite unpopular anyway. So we can say that we're almost one step before sort of a complete reopening of the economy. And at the same time, this week we had a dip of the seven-day average of new COVID-19 cases below the four-digit mark. And just today, daily cases hovered at 750. Now, intubation and deaths, the more morbid metrics of the pandemic, are also falling, and they're now at levels we were seeing back in January or February, between the second and third waves, when the country was still at a very heavy lockdown restriction status. So it's quite impressive that now we have, you know, crowds being allowed to sit outside at outdoors cafes and restaurants, and generally a sense of travel and reopening, and at the same time, cases are continuing to rapidly decline. And I think this is because of a number of factors, Thanos, among them good weather, that facilitates spending time outdoors, barring the occasional June showers, and also complying with the remaining public measures like masks and distancing in enclosed spaces. And thirdly, and most importantly, I think vaccination efforts that have definitely picked up since the last time you and I were chatting back in April.
Nico, as you mentioned, vaccinations are accelerating and the platform is available now to everyone who's 18 and older in Greece. Can you elaborate on the vaccination data coming out of Greece? And, you know, is there enough supply? Are we seeing enough interest in booking an appointment from younger groups? Because there was a Kathimerini article that indicated there was concern about hesitancy still.
So you're right that vaccination has significantly accelerated. We now have daily vaccination rates around the 100,000 mark. So that means roughly 1% of the Greek population every day is getting one dose, you know, one jab. And also vaccinations started taking place on Sundays, which is a major boost that we have, you know, another day boosting the numbers. At this stage, we've had 4.2 million people receiving at least one dose, so that's 40%, and one in four Greeks, so 2.6 million, have been fully vaccinated. So it's definitely more encouraging. In terms of vaccine supplies and demand, so yes, people over 18 can now get vaccinated and are able to choose any vaccine, barring the AstraZeneca, which is restricted by the EMA to those 30 and older. And a particularly interesting thing is also Operation Blue Freedom, which was the Greek government's attempt to prioritize vaccination and usher it to the Greek islands before other regions, seems to have worked. And we now see, for example, the Cycladic Islands having roughly 60% of their adult population having received one dose. This is really, really encouraging. So we have a sufficient supply, and at the current stage, it's met by demand. But we are seeing plateaus, and that's particularly noticeable in the older age groups, those that have been able to get the vaccine for a long time now, and we're seeing plateaus at around 70%. And I think this is a phenomenon across Europe and the US, which is how do we avoid this plateau before an acceptable level that would guarantee herd immunity, which seems to be at 70%. So there's definitely concern there. And we've had a debate in Greece about how to incentivize vaccinations. What are the carrots and sticks of getting the jab? And we had Kyriakos Mitsotakis confirming earlier this week that certain groups will be required by law to get the jab, and that others will enjoy benefits that facilitate their life. And we already had Minister Adonis Georgiadis, Minister of Development and Investment, saying that certain perks, like access to indoor venues in the winter, would be restricted to those that have completed vaccination. So this is the debate in Greece, and I think we're seeing this plateau that you mentioned sort of everywhere in the world, including countries like Israel that have released vaccination much earlier. We're seeing that the rate at some point starts declining. I don't think Greece is there yet, but we're seeing some signs that it could be due to hesitancy in older age groups.
You brought up Greece's supply levels, and it was also reported recently that Greece is planning to donate some vaccines to neighboring countries. What can you tell us about this initiative?
So yeah, Greece will supply its northern neighbors, Albania and Northern Macedonia, with 200,000 doses each of COVID-19 vaccines. This was confirmed last Thursday, I believe, by the government spokeswoman. And so we have to remember, these are countries outside the EU bloc. They didn't get the negotiation perks of getting the vaccines through the power of the EU negotiating tool. These are countries that have been struggling to start their vaccination. In North Macedonia, I believe roughly 4% has been vaccinated right now, so significantly lower. And so, just like other countries in the EU by the Commission are offering vaccines, Greece will offer these 20,000 doses. The government spokeswoman didn't specify when this would happen and which ones they would be. Those sources seem to hint that they would be the AstraZeneca vaccines that are staying behind because of a lack of demand. I think a similar thing is happening in the US with the Johnson vaccine, where the demand doesn't seem to be met. So these are some of the doses that are being donated. So yeah, we don't know when this would happen, but the move has already been welcomed very enthusiastically by Zaev, the Northern Macedonian PM. And I think it certainly reflects a more extroverted and engaged Greece with some of the neighbors that it's had a little bit of a rocky past with. But I think, Thanos, this also reflects this general understanding that nobody is safe until everyone is safe. And we know that there's concern with variants, and these can develop in neighboring countries if they don't significantly accelerate vaccination efforts. So there's this solidarity, but also pragmatism that we need to help countries increase their vaccination efforts. And Greece is right now surrounded by some countries that are really behind. And this includes Bulgaria, that is currently the lowest at the pace in the EU by a significant amount. So there's a bit of concern in the northern border that a wall of immunity hasn't really been built there.
Nico, I want to move us to the United States, where the CDC eased its travel recommendations earlier this week for 61 countries, including Greece, from its highest level, which is level 4 rating, that had discouraged all travel, to recommending travel for fully vaccinated individuals. How significant is this move for Greece, and are we seeing other countries take steps to ease travel measures as well?
I would say it's enormously significant. It's almost existential for Greece to enjoy this year a good tourism season. Its economy is so dependent on it, particularly after, you know, the pressure of the lockdown. About a quarter of Greek GDP stems from tourism, and tourism employs roughly 20% of the workforce, at least seasonally. So where are we now? There's this gradual easing. It's the stage of travel sort of starting to reopen. And in terms of the US, we've seen significant flight interest and already some traffic and some movement. And also in the EU, we're seeing some signs of the first tourists arriving, and you start hearing occasional tourist chat around Athens or in parts of Greece. I think there the vaccination certificate that was announced in June 1st has started to spearhead this effort, and we already have a couple of countries that have rolled it out. These include Germany, you know, a huge contributor to Greek tourism, and also Denmark, Czechia, Croatia, Poland, and Iceland currently examining the issue. And I think in the future, the rest of the 20 EU member states are expected to start implementing the system in just the next weeks. So I think with the US and the EU, we're seeing some encouraging signs of travel and the reciprocity issue also being considered. Where things get, I think, a little bit more interesting and thorny is with the United Kingdom. So Greece has remained in the amber list of countries in the UK's traffic light system of risk categorization of travel. So that means that Britons are currently still advised against traveling to Greece. We had the British ambassador to Greece, Kate Smith, recently express confidence that Greece will be lifted and included in Britain's green list of countries that are safe for travel. But despite that, we've definitely seen, you know, a little bit of a hesitancy from the UK to allow travel back to Europe. And this is certainly the shadow or the after effect of Brexit as well, looming in the back of this post-pandemic reality for travel and tourism.
You brought up the vaccine certificate, and Greece was a country that actually led the effort to get these certificates up and running. And it's one of the countries that you mentioned that has initiated the rollout ahead of the rest of the European Union. Can you talk about how this rollout is looking in Greece so far?
No, it's a great opportunity to talk about something where the pandemic has been a catalyst in Greece and it's really transformative, which is the digitization of public services. And this has been noticed by the Greek public and certainly appreciated with the vaccination platform itself. So people have been able to book vaccination mostly digitally or through the intervention of certain groups such as pharmacies that still do it digitally, but it's been a very rapid and automated approach. And the same now is true for the vaccination certificate. It's all Greeks that complete their vaccination get a text, an SMS that directs them to a link where by inputting basic data, they can automatically print the vaccine certificate just the day after vaccination. And I have to tell you, Thanos, I got the Johnson vaccine. So one dose was enough to complete my vaccination. And it was great. You know, when I woke up in the middle of the night from a few expected side effects, to have seen the text and just click and automatically get my vaccination certificate that very same night. It was a great feeling of euphoria. It's certainly an easy rollout. One sort of challenge that has been noticed is that this automated system doesn't seem to be working for a lot of foreign residents in Greece that are getting their vaccination here through a temporary AMCA, sort of a temporary social security number, if you will. So they seem to be having trouble confirming their vaccination appointments. This has been solved, but now they seem to face an issue with getting their vaccination certificates out. So there's a little challenge there, but certainly the game-changing quality of being able to access a public service and have an automated document ready for you online with a few clicks, this is massive for Greece, a country that is known to have a public sector that is lagging and it seems sometimes too bureaucratic to respond to the immediate needs of its population.
I want to move us to a slightly different topic. Large parts of Greece shut down on Thursday as workers across the country joined a general strike to protest a proposed labor reform. Why is this law, which was proposed by the current government, proving so controversial?
So I think the general trend of the pandemic has been to re-examine and redefine really labor law and work relationships. I mean, we were all working remotely and there was certainly flexibility due to the pandemic. So I think a lot of countries now emerging from it are trying to respond to that. And there's labor laws across Europe. The Greek labor law was, I think, an attempt to point to a more flexible future, but there's certainly been a lot of reaction to it by workers thinking that the companies will be able to bring longer hours through the back door so that there's a few flaws in this flexibility system that the government seems to want to create through the new law. So Thursday was a rough day in Athens. The center was closed because of a public demonstration, and it's certainly a message that is echoed that part of the workforce at least seems to be opposed to certain aspects of the law. It will be interesting to see how this will affect its rolling out. But certainly it's something that a lot of countries, I think, are re-examining. And we've seen countries like Spain start thinking about a four-day week, perhaps a four-day work week. So this idea of flexibility, of redefining exactly the rigid work that we had before COVID, I think it's a global phenomenon and it will be interesting to see where it sits in Greece.
Lastly, I want to move us to sports. This week, we've seen two Greek tennis stars, Stefanos Tsitsipas and Maria Sakkari, make incredible runs at the French Open. While Maria Sakkari's run ended in the semifinals, it's only been a few hours since Stefanos Tsitsipas advanced to the final. What's the general sentiment in Greece, where it seems, you know, that their performances have captivated the population?
You're very right. They have captivated the population. And, you know, I think we always look at sports, particularly at these international competitions, as a way to channel some sort of optimism and euphoria. And certainly after a very difficult year for everybody, where we have a lot of pent-up anger, you know, and frustration because of lockdowns, I think it's great to have a moment of release in sports. It almost harkens back to the times of Euro 2004, where Greece did tremendously well and surprised everyone by winning. This was also a moment of release. So yeah, there's a little bit of a tennis craze, which is rather new for Greece. I mean, we have to remember Maria and Stefanos' achievements are incredible because Greece didn't really have a presence in the global tennis ecosystem, if you will, until very recently. So it's certainly a euphoric moment. And I think it coincides with a general euphoria around the world, or at least parts of the world where vaccination seems to be accelerating and we're returning to a better state, that there's a new normal that can resemble, you know, the happiness that we used to have before this pandemic hit us.
Niko, thanks for joining us again on The Greek Current. Always great having you back on.
Thank you so much, Thanos. It was great to be here.
In other news, Greece's prime minister said Friday that his government is willing to back the European Union's positive agenda for relations with Turkey. Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis said, "Of course, we are always open to a positive agenda, but in a gradual, proportionate, and reversible way, provided that the current de-escalation is maintained and that Turkey participates constructively in the dialogue and respects the conditions set by the European Union." Mitsotakis is due to meet Monday with Turkish President Erdogan on the sidelines of a NATO summit in Brussels. Diplomats from the two countries have held two rounds of talks in recent months for the first time in 5 years, while the foreign ministers of both countries also held reciprocal visits. Finally, Cypriot Foreign Minister Nikos Christodoulidis said on Friday that Turkey's aggressive rhetoric undermines stability and cooperation in the Eastern Mediterranean. His comments came after the conclusion of the ministerial summit of the EU's Mediterranean countries in Athens. Christodoulidis also called on the European Council to show that the EU's fundamental principle of solidarity among states is not empty of content or limited to public proclamations. The issues on the agenda at the Med7 summit included the pandemic, the EU's Recovery and Resilience Fund, green and digital transition, the situation in the Eastern Mediterranean, the Cyprus issue, migration, and the protection of the Mediterranean marine environment. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.